This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's a victorious Cowboys Monday. They improved to 3-2 on the year. 2.5-point home dogs to the Detroit Lions coming up this Sunday here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. So we'll talk quite a bit about that. Cowboys Twitter's coming up at 3:20. We'll review the biggest storylines and talking points, including the latest on the injuries to Nealon and Guyton. Mike McCarthy's presser's coming up here at 3:45, and we'll get into Krusty's Corner as well. Just a massive Cowboys Monday. 1 hour down, four to go. Here's the Chief with your NFL news of the day.
Made history last night. Sunday was the longest day of NFL football ever.
Wow. That's never happened?
It was over 15 hours, right? When you, if you go from London at 9:30?
9:30 a.m. Eastern to Sunday Night Football
1 a.m.?
1 a.m. Eastern on Monday.
Yeah.
15 hours, 37 minutes of
football. I see. So the combination of London plus thunderstorm.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
I saw it was the first time that a quarterback had ever thrown interceptions in the same game, but on two different days.
That's what Dak accomplished last night.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff there with what we did yesterday as a football country, soaking it all in from top to bottom. And man, that Jalen Tolbert actually accounted for almost 41% of the Cowboys team air yards yesterday. We gave him the game ball. I know that we found out that Dak got the game ball from McCarthy last night. I mean, come on. That's a Tolbert game ball situation if I've ever seen one.
Probably should have gone to him considering it was breakout, you know?
Breakout.
Yeah, it's that kind of a special deal, and hopefully he gets more chances to get that. I think when Dak jumped on that fumble and then, you know, throws the game winner, Mike couldn't turn down the momentum of the moment.
He deserved the game ball for what he went through.
Old Tolbert?
Yeah, to get to that point.
Yeah.
He sacrificed what he had to do.
Yeah, his game balls were
he put
were
him on
hurt.
The line. Yeah,
he did. He put him on the line.
Yeah,
for the actual game ball.
For the actual game ball. You guys kind of went against me. I was thinking
Rico.
I was thinking Rico because there was no way in heck that I thought anybody was going to rush for 87 yards against the Steelers in a Dallas Cowboy uniform.
That's the hair splitting for me when we're doing the post game show game ball. I'm thinking, man, player of the game, is it Tolbert? Is it Rico? Had Tolbert not been the one to score the game winner there at the end, then you probably end up giving it to Rico, especially if he's able to clear the offensive line midair, not fumble, and score the touchdown there. It's a no-brainer, Rico Dowdle. Because he had 114 total yards, including one catch that resulted in a nice touchdown grab. So Rico was right there. Yeah, and no turnovers to speak of, which is pretty encouraging. So
I mean, has that ever happened? You get a three-pack of turnovers and you win player of the game, basically, for your coach?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
And he had a field goal block, too. Think about that. I mean, you think about
left so many points on the board.
You think about all the things that happened to you. Now, did they get a turnover on that final play? Does Dallas get a turnover credited for the pitch around? I didn't even look.
Do they
when they went?
The
lateral plays.
Yeah, did the Cowboys end up fumbling recovering a fumble or something there?
I thought maybe they got one for that, but yeah, you don't normally have three turnovers. I always think of a missed field goal as a turnover. So to me, that was kind of like he had four turnovers in that game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was pretty ugly. It was pretty sloppy. But and they did everything they could to lose the game. They left a bunch of points on the, you know.
What did we determine about 13?
Yeah, 13 points.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 9 to 13.
Yeah.
Because it was a minimum of three field goals that you missed out on because of your poor red zone performance.
They how about this?
But it shows how much better you were than them by doing all the things wrong, and you're still able to win the game.
They found, you know, Hooker had a chance for an interception he missed.
Watching Hooker try and catch footballs
is just
awful.
Then Lawson.
Yeah, you had the back-to-back plays.
Back-to-back plays. You dropped the interception, then you had the sack fumble, and all Lawson has to do is fall on the ball. And he just doesn't.
We were scratching our heads in here, like, going, wait, why is it still Steelers' ball? That seemed obvious there when watching in real time that Carl Lawson recovered that fumble, right. But Justin Fields snuck back in there. Yeah, that was two ridiculous plays where your defense is like the easiest, two easy turnover opportunities, and you can't figure it out. Right. Add it to the list of things that you did wrong, shooting yourself in the foot. And once again, you still win.
They might have had a hard time focusing because it was so easy. I mean, the Steelers 3 of 12 on third down.
They were bad. At one point, I know they were 8. They were 1 of 8.
My goodness.
At one point, yeah.
134 yards passing. Cowboys did their best to help him, including another double-digit penalty game, Chief. I think that's one of the things I'd be harping on today if I'm Mike.
Great point. Great point. It was.
It's never going to get better, boys.
Your own turnovers. It's your field goal block. It's your penalties. And then it's your missed opportunities with those interceptions and fumbles that you could have easily had so defensively. So it was a litany of things to correct. The penalties were.
They're not going to get better.
No, it's just.
They're not going to get better. That's going to. It's. This team, he talks about it every single week about that, and I don't want to be wet blanket guy, but he does. He talks about it. They have officials out there. The officials try and tell him, oh, you lined up offside, you're too deep, you're, you know, pass interference, blah, 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 blah. Every week, we, you know, he comes at the podium, and he goes, oh, penalties, we got to take care of these penalties. Yeah. And these officials, they will call a lot of penalties, but you give them reasons to call penalties. I was kind of like thinking, okay, what's happening here with Linville Joseph, hands to the face? What kind of call is that? Then they show it, and then I watch on tape. Yeah, he's got his hand, like, all raked in the guy's face.
Yeah.
He's got the center Frazier's face mask twisted in his hands, you know, so.
But Linville Joseph was the highest graded player, according to Pro Football Focus, on your team last night, though. I mean, he definitely played well.
It was funny. I think Mozzie had 18 run defense snaps. And had 4 tackles in those 18 snaps.
I mean, when I focused on watching him, whenever I watched it back today, it didn't seem like he had like a awesome game. It didn't seem like it was the same type of game that he had versus the Giants.
That's what I'm saying. You get, you know, there was those guys. He got knocked around a couple of different times, but him and Joseph, when Golston got in there at tackle, Oso Diguza, the tackles did a pretty decent job for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you had Joseph was your highest graded Cowboy according to Pro Football Focus. Then it was Jordan Lewis, Zach Martin, Chauncey Golston, Maris Leifau, and Jalen Tolbert. Those are your top 6 Cowboys according to Pro Football Focus from last night. Yeah. But, go ahead.
No, some good points coming in on text. The 214, Rico didn't follow the blocking from number 40. He could have scored.
Well, that
maybe Mike docked him in game ball for that.
Yeah.
I would have.
In Krusty's corner, I was going to tell you why, but I'll tell you why now since you brought it up. Loudermilk, the defensive tackle, penetrated on the play. They couldn't get him blocked. So what happened is his path, everything was going to the edge. It was going to the right edge. The lead blocks, the down blocks, everything was going right. Loudermilk, 92, got inside and penetrated. And if Dowdle stayed the path, he was going to get tackled right there. Instead, he tried to bend it back inside and then go for the and then try to jump it. But then that linebacker was coming over the top, and that's where you had the collision. But the penetration kept him from getting to the edge.
The 469 says that was a fumble there in the last seconds. Matter of fact, he had that player. Is it Freiermuth?
Yeah.
Freiermuth?
Yeah,
Freiermuth. On fantasy, and it dipped a couple of points for him.
Yeah. So. Okay, so you got a turnover on that craziness.
Yeah,
I believe it. Well, we had the morning football in London. The Jets end up losing once again. The Vikings undefeated, looking pretty nice there, and might be on their path to a 1 seed in the NFC. We will find out.
Yes.
But the Jets keep falling apart, and it's hilarious.
And Orlovsky getting just torched today for not calling out Aaron Rodgers for his part of it. That's been one of the most fun things on NFL Twitter. But it's more clear than ever, you know, they have a quarterback problem and it's the injury. You know, it kind of reminds me of the difference of Dak Prescott pre-injury to post-injury. The suddenness that Aaron Rodgers used to be able to move with, the balance, and every now and then that joint is compromised. The flexibility, the quickness isn't in there. So he's kind of getting stuck and he can't get his feet back to a good platform to throw from anymore. So I do believe 100% Aaron Rodgers Dunsky. Yeah, this should be it. Yeah.
I mean, he was writhing in pain, crawling around, looking like he was like dry heaving or something. I was like, man, that is literally a great depiction of how Jets fans have felt for like 50 years now.
Wow. So,
that's what happens when you put that uniform on. I think my favorite tweet of the weekend was Dan Carney tweeting out that he was going Aaron Rodgers mode this week, doing a bunch of drugs and being bad at his job. So that's sort of his plan just for the Monday through Friday this week, try to get out of the monotony of being himself. Try to be a little bit more like Aaron this week. Now, we also had a witching hour for the ages yesterday.
Hadn't thought about that. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, it is pretty strong there. Some people meal prep. Some people, you know, put their week itinerary together, and it looks a little bit more like this guy's now.
I would like to send Sandler on one of those silent retreats, by the way. I know he's a Packers fan. Maybe, you know, feels like that could be appropriate at this time.
Give Jared a little darkness retreat.
Yeah.
See how he comes out on the other side.
Yeah.
Enlightened and everything.
Maybe. Could be healing for him. I know he needs it.
we were sitting here yesterday doing the pregame show, me and Broadus, and I got to say, man, watching the game with Broadus, and I've only watched a Cowboys game with Broadus in the press box, and I am even more impressed than ever with the way he's able to hold his composure and keep his professionalism and his respect while in that press box, because watching him in his natural habitat of no concerns, of just, hey, do what you want, watch the game how you want, and mother bleep anybody you want while you're watching it and complain and all these different things. Watching him be a real fan last night, I can't imagine what it's like in here during these road postgame shows when it's you and Walchuk, rabid Cowboys fans, like just screaming at everything that goes against the Cowboys, and there was a lot last night.
Yeah, there was a lot. And
it was hilarious.
I got after McCarthy for that 3rd-and-1 call where they...
where they end up getting sacked.
Yeah, they get sacked, and I'm like, just run the ball. What are you... You know, I'm sorry, Eric. I mean to be more professional.
No, you don't need to. It was awesome. It was great entertainment for me. I'm serious. Like, that should be. We need to throw that on the Peace-a-thon board. Just for like, hey, get to be with Broadus during a Cowboys game, not in the press box, just when he gets to be himself and just watch Broadus be a Cowboys fan during.
Are you like that for all of them, Brian? Yelling at the TV and stuff.
Oh, last night was the worst.
Okay. That was one of those games last night.
Yeah.
Every time you turned around, it's a penalty, it's a mistake, self-inflicted. Yeah,
put yourself out there picking the Cowboys to win.
Oh,
That probably had something to do with it.
No,
you're making me look bad.
No, I believed in my heart that they were going to win.
Yeah.
You know, and
makes
I
one of us.
I just knew that the Steelers had problems, you know, and I'm thinking, God, just take advantage of these problems, you know.
I should have listened to them more as I was putting together my prediction. I felt good about it. Yeah. I did, picking Steelers to win.
Oh, look, they just showed the Seahawks blocked the... blocked field goal. Oh, here it is, Dawson. Right there. That's a Friday bet payoff. Is that?
By the way, Aubrey's blocked that. He yanked that.
Yeah, that was his fault. That felt like his fault.
That's two now.
Sieg, the center, he got knocked sideways on that. That's why they're able to jump where they did. But
Loudermilk got the block there.
Yeah. Loudermilk kind of a couple times got you for some stuff.
I can't believe Loudermilks exist in this world.
Maybe need to trade for that cat.
So we did have we got to experience the witching hour together, me and Broadus, while we're doing the pregame show, and you're watching the Bills and Texans game go down to the wire, and the Bills shooting themselves in the foot left and right with poor clock management. The Texans get it done. That Jaguars and Colts game was crazy towards the end. Joe Flacco going toe to toe with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence had a teammate, I believe it was Gabe Davis, that tried to get into an actual physical altercation with him on the sidelines because he didn't like what was going down, and Trevor Lawrence is throwing his iPad around. It was jag on jag crime, if you will. And then, of course, you had the overtime extravaganza in Cincinnati with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
and that was a ridiculous finish, ridiculous game. And Joe Burrow lights it up. Lamar Jackson lights it up. They score all the points, but it is the Ravens that get the victory, and the Bengals end up now sitting at 1-4, and their season's potentially over. Their defense is just so bad.
That's a top five stiff arm of all time, by the way.
Oh, the Lamar
play.
The way
Lamar ditches him and very casually like resets, like, dude, you can't even dream of touching me. Sit down.
It was like that little hesitation when somebody in basketball gets a step back, and then they're like, they gather for a second before they knock down the three. It's just that little moment of
the highlight.
Totally, totally got you. It was an awesome play, awesome game, awesome finish there in overtime. And, Broadus had the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, continuing to light it up. Beautiful bomb ski rolling out to his right on the move to scary Terry McLaurin at one point. But this Brown situation with Deshaun Watson, it's getting really, really bad. And he now has, when you look at what his numbers are reflecting right now, he's got the worst QBR in the NFL, worst QBR in the NFL when clean, like in a clean pocket. He's given up 26 sacks, 8 more than the next team, has scored on 25% of their drives, worst in the NFL, averaging 3.7 yards per drop back, worst in the NFL, 7 touchdowns and 30, have 7 touchdowns and 30 points through 5 games. It's just like...
It's bad.
It's bad. So that's where you're at right now with Cleveland and Deshaun Watson. But I do think Terry Bradshaw may have taken it just a touch too far during the Fox show yesterday.
As Kurt said, do you put Watson down now? He has not played well since he's been in Cleveland. Simply has not played well.
I don't want to put him down. I'd want to sit him.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That was a little harsh.
I know what you meant. I know what you meant, Terry, okay?
Gronk was eye to eye with him there, but everybody else was like, tone that down a little bit, Terry. Come on.
Yeah.
It's still a human being we're talking about here.
Yeah, we don't do a keep him rolled yeller until the end of the season, sir.
And even now, we don't do that anymore.
We don't do that anymore, yeah.